It's Tuesday, June 9th, and you're listening to the Geek News Central podcast, sponsored by GoDaddy.com. Geek News Central is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Have I got a great show lined up for you tonight? And yes, I'm still in Hawaii, so strap in. Here it comes.
This is the Geek News Central podcast, part of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. So grab a cup of coffee, take a seat, and crank up that volume, because you're listening to Todd on the Geek News Central podcast.
Aloha and welcome to GNC 484. You're listening to the Geek News Central podcast, coming to you as live as it can be from the beautiful state of Hawaii, from the Geek News Central studio overlooking Greater Oahu. Hey everyone, how you doing? Welcome to the show. Yes, my name is Todd Cochran, and yes, you are tuned in to the Geek News Central podcast. We want to welcome all of the longtime listeners, all of the Ohana, to the show. If you're checking the show out for the very first time via either the audio show or via the live stream up on Ustream, we want to welcome you to the podcast, but make sure you get over to geeknewscentral.com. Check out all the great content over there. Of course, check out the archive podcast available via the podcast link on the website. Sign up for our newsletter. And matter of fact, we're going to have some people win some money for signing up for our newsletter. We've got a contest going on right now with that. So sign up for our newsletter and get a chance to win. You can do that via the column on, actually, there's a link on the website for that, and it's real easy to get signed up, and that'll get you the show notes, basically everything I talk about tonight, including all the links, the hyperlinks, and all the listener submitted content as well will go in there. So lots of valuable stuff for you to check out every time the show is released. And also a reminder that this show is basically recorded every essentially Monday and Thursday nights, but released every Tuesday and Friday morning. And of course, sign up via iTunes or subscribe via iTunes or the Zune Marketplace, whatever podcatcher that you may be using to get the show automatically delivered to you. Hey, we had a great weekend. I mean, absolutely fantastic. I would say that the past, and I'm going to go back, I'm going to say the past 7 days have been probably my most productive 7 days in at least 6 months. I don't know what it was. Everything was just, you know, when you have one of those weeks where everything's hitting on all cylinders, nothing's going wrong, you start kind of to look over your shoulder thinking, what shoe's going to drop, you know, what crisis, what fire am I going to have to put out? And really no fires whatsoever. We've had just a tremendous response to the PowerPress release we made a couple of weeks ago, our updated podcast plugin for WordPress. The response to that has been fantastic. The number of new customers are coming on board has been fantastic as well. So really, everything's been going good. Now, I spent probably 20 hours creating help videos for a lot of the services we have. Matter of fact, I've got three that I have to actually push up after the show tonight. And basically, I did all the technical stuff, and I saved the ones for making money until the end. And I've actually gotten a couple emails that people say, hey, Todd, I see everything up there, but except how to make money with Blueberry. And I'm like, okay, don't worry, they're coming. But so all that stuff is over at help.blueberry.com. They're all screencast, and they're not super slick productions. They're just me sitting here in front of the computer walking through the site and showing the different things. So it was pretty cool to get those updated and out and on the street. But we've got some new features this week that are coming to Blueberry. We already have kind of pre-announced it to those that are part of the community through our newsletter. So I'm pretty excited about that. I'll be able to talk about that on, hopefully Angela will have stuff pushed up either tomorrow or Wednesday, and I'll talk about that on the show on Friday. But I have to admit, I was very surprised today. I was, going through my show prep, and I always have vanity searches for our competitors. And one of our competitors has introduced something, and I was like, oh, let me go over and check that out. And I was reading through it, and I was going, I'm like, wow, copycats. Literally, feature by feature, some of the same exact stuff we've had on the street for a while, copied. And I thought, well, that was If you can't be original, copy, right? And with their millions, I thought they would be more original than that. But don't worry, our small team of five is continuing to explosively grow, and we don't need millions of VC dollars. We can compete with five people. And oh, by the way, we are profitable. And that's the important part, right? In this day, in this economy, and everything else. And because we have been conservative, we've been steady. I'm totally psyched with the way everything is placed out right now and where we're at. We're heading into quarter three. So, of course, a little trepidations with quarter three, seeing what's going to happen with the advertising inventory for Q3. So we'll see what happens there. But so far, all is good. As you guys can see, I'm still in Honolulu, and you probably can't tell, but the office is immaculate. On Saturday morning, I love my daughter. I really do. And I told her, honey, I don't want to have to get up. She's going to, it's called Civil Air Patrol. It's basically kind of like a middle school, high schooler group. It's not ROTC kind of per se, but it's more of a Air Force type of, they teach them, basic things about aviation. And it's a pretty good little group. It gives them some good structure. And she had to be there at 7:15. And I said, okay, we're going to leave the house at 6:45. So you have to be up and dressed, but don't wake Dad up until 6:30. Her alarm clock went off at 4:30 in the morning, and I was up Saturday at 4:30, and I'm thinking, and I was awake, and I'm thinking, and I had went to bed like at midnight. I said, well, I'm up. So I came out in the office and I looked, and I said, well, mornings are a good time to start cleaning. And I cleaned the office and went through stuff and reorganized, and I know everything's at it. Actually, I was missing a little piece that I needed, because tonight we only have three cameras. And one of the reasons why I only have three cameras tonight is my good friend Andy McCaskey over at SDRnews.com. He's going out to Vegas. Matter of fact, an opportunity presented itself. Hewlett-Packard has invited some podcasters out. Basically, my schedule was already booked with a podcast consulting gig, so I couldn't go. And Jake Ludington had sent me an email looking for a couple of people. So I believe Andy and also Jeffrey from Geekazine is going to be going out to Vegas and covering an event in HP the week of the 15th. And Andy doesn't have really any pro gear, pro audio video recording gear. And basically, I provide all that when we go to CES and these other events. So tonight, FedEx, or actually this afternoon, I dropped off at FedEx one of my cameras and wireless mics and everything else that he's going to need to do good content out there in Vegas. So I look forward to seeing that content go out. Keep you advised on that. We'll probably be live streaming some stuff that he's going to be doing that week. But I am getting ready to go on travel here. I've got really what it is I have consulting gigs throughout the summer. July right now is about my only month that I'll probably guaranteed I'm going to be home. But I've got two events that I have to do, and the companies buy the airplane tickets. And usually that's how I kind of work it. I say, you guys book me the tickets as part of the deal. And generally, I try to get them to buy first-class tickets. Sometimes they won't. And so I either upgrade points or whatever. But I'm waiting for tickets to go out to a job site and do some consulting for about 5 days or so. And then I turn around, come home for just 2 or 3 days, and then boom, I go out to the Eastern Seaboard, and I'm out there for a full week. And so I'm looking forward to getting those two trips knocked out, and I thought I would be gone tonight. Thought I was going to have to delay the show, and that did not happen. So here I am, and yes, we're going to have a full show. Got a stack of stuff for you. I mean, just a huge stack. I mean, there was so much news tonight. Of course, the WWDC announcement today, which I'm sure if all of you have been probably already seeing all over the internet. I'm not going to cover that in great detail. I'll talk about some of the things that were kind of the highlights. But if you had to have not been surfing any tech sites today at all, not to have seen the news on the Apple announcements, because they were everywhere. They really, really were. So we'll have a little time on that. But I got a bunch of other stuff too that I find, but I want to make a reminder here. The Go Meeting Challenge, the Go-To Meeting Challenge is currently on, is going on. And you have until June 22nd to send me an email with a screenshot of you using GoToMeeting in some sort of a session that you're using it with. Explain how you've gotten benefits for it. And one lucky business or individual that's listening to this show will get a six-month free subscription to GoToMeeting. That's a huge value. It really, really is. As well, the GoDaddy Challenge is going on. I am going to be bringing on five podcasters, five shows, five individuals that want to start a podcast. I'll be sponsoring their websites, be sponsoring their hosting, be taking care of everything for them, getting them started doing some consulting with them, you're working through their show plan, making sure that they are got a good foundation to launch their shows, and they're going to get great coverage here as well. So this is a huge opportunity for anyone that wants to do a podcast. And again, the GoDaddy Challenge, you have until June 28th to send your submissions in. Both these contests, geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com. And keep me informed, like, you know, fill me in with what you're doing, and then we'll put your name in the hat to be drawn on those two specific show days, June 22nd, June 28th. Of course, July 1st is the month of giveaways for participating TPN shows. It's going to be a month where we're going to have multiple shows that are going to be giving away gear. So that's going to be an exciting thing. Now, the newsletter challenge continues. We've had our first secret message in the newsletter. Tonight, it's going to get a little tougher, okay? And again, you have to listen to win to get the information to put in the email you send me on the newsletter. And because I ask a question about something I talked about in the show, and you'll have to dig that out and send it to me. We've got a great number of entries already. And everyone that sent in their entries, you got the question correct. So let everybody know you're good to go on that. Of course, all of this would not be possible without our great sponsors. If you get over to GoDaddy.com and you're looking for a domain name, you're looking for dedicated server, virtual dedicated server, SSL certificate. Hey, when you get to that checkout counter, don't forget me. Promo code TODD. That'll get you 10% off on any order. Geek 5 will save you 15% on orders $20 or more. And one of our listeners had a little problem with Todd 20. Todd 20 is a 20% off coupon only for 1 year shared hosting accounts. You can't use Todd 20 for domain names, for anything else. It has to be for shared hosting accounts. Very specific. 20% off. It's a great code. I don't believe anyone else has a code better than that for discounts on shared hosting. So Todd 20 to save 20% off on 1 year shared hosting accounts. And you can bet I'll be using my own codes to pick up those hosting accounts because, hey, why not, right? But I won't get paid for them because they're all on my account. I'll save the money, but it won't help keep the lights on for sure. Hey, as well, GoToMeeting. Hey, online meetings made easy. This is really the best way to have an online conference. You have multiple people in. They can chat. They can talk. You can work through documents. You can do collaboration. Really, it is the best online conferencing solution. I use it almost daily. And I'll be honest with you, I really could not live without this application. It saves me money, saves me time, saves me headaches and trying to present stuff. It really is the way to do online collaboration, do online meetings without having to get out of your chair, drive or fly someplace to do that. So check GoToMeeting out, GoToMeeting.com/tech podcast. You can find the link to it on the website or in the show notes. Download the trial, try it for 30 days. And if you're not as convinced as I am that the application's good, you send me an email and you tell me why. And then we'll address that on the show. But anyway, thanks for GoToMeeting for being a continued sponsor here. And hey, we've got some people in chat here. A couple folks have been at the WWDC. And so we'll be talking a little bit about this, I guess probably his first article up tonight. Also, I got Jeff, our content director over at Raw Voice. He's working on some new advertising deals, some new CPA deals. We're going to be bringing some specials to the show, so I look forward to being able to announce those here in the near future. Before we get into the WWDC content, which again I'm going to cover briefly, I want to talk about Firefox 3.5. It's close, folks. The release is just really moments away, and there's the preview is online. They're very close to doing a release candidate stage. So really, if you are a hardcore user, you're a power user, you'll definitely want to try this out. It's your chance to get complaints into the Firefox team on what's going on with the application and how you need to have it improved to make life better for you if you find a little bug. Before I move on to the next article, you guys ever notice when you're to the point where you're just about ready to get a Charlie horse, you can feel it in your toes? You guys might be in for a treat on Ustream. You might see me scream because I feel one building. I think the lactic acid in that right leg is just about ready to kick here, and it should be good. So I'm working my foot underneath the desk to make sure that doesn't happen. But everyone get their screen captures ready because then I'll make sure to get the camera switched around so it's close up so you guys can get a good response in my face. Okay. All right, let's talk about really the news out of Apple WWDC 2009. Of course, the new iPhone. The iPhone, guess what they're calling it? 3GS. And whether or not that's going to mean speed or slow, I think has a lot to do, depend on what AT&T is able to accomplish in getting their network upgraded. And lots of comments today about across the board, Apple fanboy sites everywhere, people really dogging on AT&T, and you know the differences in between the second generation iPhone and the third generation iPhone are really not that much. They're giving a better camera. They're going to have cut and paste. You're gonna be able to do some live video recording with some editing. You know, the increase in features is really not that big. If you're not an AT&T iPhone customer currently, you're going to be able to get one as cheap as $99. So that is, that's pretty remarkable, and it makes me sit back and go, wow. But every time I hear the word AT&T, it makes me thankful that even though I've got a Gen 1 iPhone hacked to run T-Mobile, I just don't see upgrading. I'm going to wait to 2010. I'm going to wait to 2010 and see if Apple does the right thing and brings on Verizon or another carrier, because the cost, the overall cost of the iPhone continues to be extraordinarily high for all the services. But one thing that's going to be cheap is the Snow Leopard upgrade, which normally major upgrades to OS, the Mac OS is usually around $100, $130. This year, $29. For the upgrade. But as you look through their upgrade features on Snow Leopard, it's really not that major. They've got some stuff that's going to be cool. Now, the thing that's probably the coolest about the upgrade on Snow Leopard, for those of you running Intel Macs and you have some of the newer generation Macs that have the multi-cores, is that you're going to be able to really kind of, they've got this core management system in there, which to me is probably the most impressive thing of the entire update. Now, for a long time, I've sat back here and thought about maybe buying a Mac Pro, a desktop, and pimping it out. But every time I look at that price tag, I want to go in the bathroom and throw up, because it's like $6,000 to buy one of those things pimped out the way I want it. But I'm doing so much video these days, and using my I would call this a first gen Mac Pro, which is limited on the amount of RAM it can put in it and so forth. It just really makes me go, do I want to do that? And at this point, I don't. But this Safari, the Snow Leopard upgrade, it really has the potential to opening up, being able to process video encoding much quicker. So there's some things to look for there. Of course, now the MacBook Air and MacBook Pro, including a new 13-inch Pro, have specs have been increased, and the prices have gone down. FireWire is back and everything but the Air, so Apple got the word on that. Boy, I tell you, people really, they put their thumb on Apple by not having FireWire in those previous versions. Now, here's really kind of the bad. The $995, if you want to upgrade to OS3 for your iPod Touch, it's going to cost you $10. And they're going to be switching. And this completely blows my mind. On the MacBook Pros, they're now going to have an SD card slot, but they're going to lose the Express card. Now, I'm looking around here, I'm thinking, I got an Express card for eSATA, I got an Express card, and I got like three or four different Express cards for my MacBook Pro. Now, it'll work for this one, but I'm thinking if I buy another Mac someday, I'm going to have to switch everything over to SD. And some of these cards were not cheap. Not expensive, but it still adds to the price tag of the machine. And really, pretty much the ugly here is if you have a Gen 2 iPhone and you want to upgrade, get the old American Express card out, because you're going to pay anywhere from $399 to $699 to get a 3GS, 3G Slow. We're going to call it a 3G Slow until AT&T approves otherwise. And, of course, AT&T being the monolithic, dumb, idiotic company that they are, and he knows I'm being very kind to them, they're not going to feature MMS initially when the phone is released. And they're also not going to allow tethering, but they're promising that they're going to have it sometime in the summer. Did I look at the calendar? But is it? Let me see here. Let me look at the date. It is June. We're already into June, right? Okay. We're June 9th. And I think summer starts on what day? The 18th or something like that? far as I'm concerned, you're in June. You're in the summer. When it's 80 degrees and you can go outside and mow the yard and you're with no shirt on, get some rays, you're in the middle of summer. Of course, now, ladies, that's, I know you're not included on that, but, let's think about that. That means July, August, September, the latest maybe. So lots of heat discount towards AT&T right now. But one thing also that blows me away is Mac's continued movement to going to laptops that you can't replace the battery. When I go to big events, last year when we went to CES, you know how many batteries I carried from my MacBook? 4 extra ones. You're thinking, 4? Yes, I carried 4 extra ones because we would be somewhere without electrical plugs, running, processing videos, and then, within like 3 or 4 hours, boom, I'd have to put a new battery in. So now that this 15-inch is out, and there's, even though saying that the battery's going to last up to 7 hours, yeah, go ahead and do some heavy lifting with that Mac and see if it lasts for 7 hours. But a non-swappable battery on a MacBook Pro? Bad, bad, bad decision. Oh, we're green. We're a green company. Everything has to be green. Turn in your laptops to us so we can upgrade the battery. No. That's dumb. Really, really dumb. Okay, I spent probably 5 minutes too long on this WWDC stuff, and I may have a few more things as I go through the show, but that's kind of, what I'm going to talk about for that. Now, let's talk a little bit about the pre. First day pre-release, record sales for Sprint. They sold out of the pre's, and everyone is very happy. And, of course, you look at the iPhone launch, and you compare it to the pre. Well, I think they sold 50,000 units, which is still pretty impressive for a new phone launch. A lot of people are happy. They're saying there may be a few issues with some screen issues with heating with the device. But so far, not too much negative discussion. Now, I guess I shouldn't, did you guys see the article over on TechCrunch and the absolutely meltdown they had on the Gilmore Gang this weekend? Now, I like Leo. I respect Leo. He does a great job. He's very respected. He's very impartial, I believe, to most of the stuff he reviews. I should correct. I don't want to set myself up here. He does a great job. And during the Gilmore Gang, Michael Arrington asked, and then basically Leo was saying, yeah, I like the pre. And Michael Arrington interrupted him and said, did you get that for free? Was that one of these units they send out to you and you're quote unquote supposed to send it back in 7 days? Leo said, yeah, it was a loaner unit, 7 day loaner unit. And boy, oh boy, Leo just blew his top, cursing at Michael, because basically Leo interpreted what Michael had said as being a questioning his integrity. And, you know, Leo's been around long enough, 30 years. Or how many years has been Leo been online? A lot longer than a high majority of any of us. And, you know, so calling into his, you know, if he was felt his integrity was being questioned, I can understand why he would get very pissed off. And, but it was just, wow, you know, you see Leo, he's always, you know, smooth, he very, you know, precise in his discussions, has good conversation, and to see this was like, wow, and it was up on the video side, I was pretty shocked. And where Michael was coming from was basically saying that Palms, of course, I wrote two scathing reviews on two Palm phones back in December, so I'm definitely on Palms' do not send list. They weren't, well, let's put it this way, they were probably the two most negative reviews I've ever done on phones that have been sent to me ever. It was that bad. And so I didn't get one, obviously, but what Michael is seeing as a trend, and he didn't, you know, provide a lot of anecdotal evidence, but he says that largely very positive reviews by people that got review phones, very few negative comments, which is surprising and makes you wonder a little bit. Now, I have a policy here of 100% disclosure at all times. If I get a product to review, and I talk about it on this show, I tell you straight up, most of the times before I even get into the product. If I do a review on my website about a product, I disclose that it's a review unit. I also am very, very careful in my website when I have my contact page. There's this very distinct language saying, hey, sending a piece of gear to us does not guarantee a positive review. And we use the stuff. Stuff comes here. I have at least a minimum 72-hour use period where we actually use it, messing around with it, making sure that, you know, giving it a real trial. And so when Leo says he's like the pre, I believe him. I really do. But just the explosive nature of that was like, whoa, I just couldn't believe it. I really couldn't. So I guess hopefully those two have kissed and made up and everything will be fine because, you know, the Gilmore Gang does bring great content. And I don't think anyone would question Leo's integrity. Now, I know some people have some other issues with some things Leo said recently, and I actually got a voicemail on it yesterday. It's a completely unrelated issue. I'm not going to run that particular audio clip. It's good to – I don't necessarily want to blast people that way on the show, but, it was surprising, though, to see the response that happened during the Gilmore Gang. But I just wanted to kind of go on the record and say that I trust Leo's insight into product reviews. So anyway, that being said, hope the pre does well. Did you guys buy one? Anyone buy one? If you did, definitely, I want to hear from you. And you should call the voicemail hotline at +1-619-342-7365. Again, +1-619-342-7365, and that will get you into the system. You can leave a comment on your device. Let me know how you liked it, and we'll play it on the show. Of course, emails to geeknews@gmail.com. Side view for you, those on Ustream, you guys can check the just see the little lights and stuff flash. I won't leave that up too long, but let me go ahead and move into one last thing. You know, iPhone is about how big? You know, it's not that big. I can't imagine having it on my dash acting as a GPS, but Apple's partnered up with TomTom to bring real navigation to the iPhone, so I actually have a real GPS built into it. Don't know about this one, you know, because got to have a little bit bigger screen. I don't think I would want to have this on the dash, and I'll stick with my regular GPS that I have right now over going with a TomTom unit for the new edition. Okay, more mobile news. T-Mobile network allegedly hacked. So I'm a T-Mobile customer, and I'm thinking to myself, oh, my goodness. It's rumored that T-Mobile network has been hacked and that the anonymous group behind the email claims to have everything on T-Mobile servers, their databases, confidential documents, scripts, financial documents up to 2009. And if this is true, wow. Holy mackerel. They're investigating the matter. We'll see what happens. If you're a T-Mobile customer, keep an eye on your, you know, I was seeing, you know, if this really turns out to be true, you're thinking, is it time to put a credit lock on, you know, on my credit reports for 90 days or so? It's scary. But apparently the group is trying to sell. They actually tried to sell this information to competitors. Competitors said no. This is allegedly. And they've got this data on sale for the highest bidder. So time will tell. If you're a T-Mobile customer, be aware of this. And keep an eye on your your credit reports and stuff. You know, you guys can get a yearly free credit report. It might be, and you can, you know, you can put a lock on your credit stuff. So be aware of this. This could turn into an absolute disaster. And I don't think I have any credit cards linked to my T-Mobile account because I pay that online. But I don't know how they tie the, probably not. But if you got a credit card tied to that, you know, be aware of it. I'm sure there's going to be more repercussions if this goes down. Hey, over on Robin Good's website at masternewsmedia.org, best tools to upload your video to multiple video sharing sites. It's a mini guide. And what I was blown away here was I was completely familiar with the ability for like TubeMogul to do uploading. And he's got a list of at least 10 or 12 different sites here that will do the same exact service. HeySpread, VidMetrics, SENuke, Video Post Robot, Video Upload Pro, Traffic Geyser, Content Buzz. There's just a bunch of them here. And some of them are subscription. You know, I thought TubeMogul's Pro service was a little bit high. They want to charge $500 a month to upload 500 videos per month. I don't need that type of volume, but I could maybe handle $47 a month or maybe $19.95 a month, depending on if you know who they submit to. Looks like, looking at his matrix here, that VidMetrics has probably some of the best distribution as compared to TubeMogul. HeySpread is pretty good as well. Video Upload Pro, which is $95. I don't know if that's a month or a year. Has a pretty good selection too. So this is a good article. This is a keeper. Went right into my bookmarks, my permanent bookmarks, and very rarely do I add stuff to that. But this is a great link for you, and be in the show notes, of course, on the website at geeknewscentral.com and in the content in the newsletter. Article were on the Register, and of course, Apple had a lot of positive news today, but at the same time, they had some negative news. And this is from the folks basically doing some analysis and some discussion with some people that are consultants to Apple, say that Apple is struggling to effectively protect its users against malware and other online threats, and suggests that executives improve by adopting a security development lifecycle into their product design and its growing roster of products. This is interesting. They're saying that Apple does not have a formal security program, and as such, fails to catch vulnerabilities that would otherwise be prevented by product releases or before product releases. This was written by Rich Mogul, founder of security firm Securus, and a self-described owner of 7 Macs. To address this lack, Apple should integrate secure software development into all internal development efforts. And I don't know how much legs this article has. Again, this is over on theregister.co.uk. They usually do pretty good reporting. And but again, do you hear about Macs getting hacked? You know, you hear about a few security issues, but very rarely do you hear anything big. But it is kind of an interesting an article released the same day as, of course, the Apple announcements at WWDC. Even on a bigger scale here, and this is just devastating. If you are buying, I'm going to be very frank here. If you have a shared hosting account somewhere, or a dedicated server, or a virtual dedicated server, I don't care what hosting customer that you're with. I don't care if you're with GoDaddy, DreamHost, whoever it is. If they have the ability for you to schedule automatic backups to an off-site backup, in other words, go to an FTP server, something that is secure, that's on their network that you can get stuff dropped into, or off-site, or you do backup downloads, or you make sure that you have a good way to always have a good copy of your website, no matter what. I mean, my website is backed up fully 7 nights a week. It's backed up in segments during the day as well, so that if stuff is posted during the day, they're segmented backups on both my servers, and it goes to a secure FTP account. So I really, and I've been able to recover a machine where I had some problems before. I said, okay, go ahead and slick it, and I go ahead and reset the machine back up. And within a couple hours, I've got all my data and all my websites back up online. But a web host in the UK, it's called Vassar, VASERV.com, had as many as 100,000 websites destroyed by attackers who targeted a zero-day vulnerability in a widely used virtualization application. Apparently, there was a zero-day hack that was found in an application called HyperVM. If any of you are running HyperVM, shut it down now. This application is made by a company called LX Labs, and it's in version 2.0.7992 of the application, but they had 100,000 websites deleted. They were able to gain some massive, basically some very secure access to their hosting center. And, it's just, wow, unbelievable. And, they were able to gain root access to the company system. So they downloaded stuff. They captured stuff. It's, mostly UK sites. But only 40% of them were paying for a backup guarantee. And they're actually recovering those sites now. And that means 60,000 sites gone. And if you didn't have a backup sitting on your hard drive or somewhere else or at a secure FTP site or on an S3, you're done. You're done. Your life is over as you know it as far as your website goes. Protecting what you have online is just as important as protecting what you have on your PCs. Come up with a plan. Lots of services out there. Pay for it. Use it. Rest easy if there's a big issue like this. The food chain, maybe you do a great job securing your site, but if someone gets in a back door somewhere else, just like this, it could wipe you out in an instant. A simple little command, RM-RF, and you're done. that'll kill a machine in a New York minute. So be aware there and keep your sites backed up, okay? And pay that few extra bucks for that little FTP backup site. It doesn't cost very much, and it's well worth it. Okay, big news out of the Federal Communications Commission. Of course, they're having an open discussion right now on the National Broadband Plan, and they're collecting input essentially from everyone. And you'll definitely want to, if you want some input into what's going on in the broadband space in the United States, if you want to give them feedback on articles that have already been submitted by the major companies and major support organizations are basically on our side, you're going to want to go and check this article out and link over. They've got a link to the FCC's website and where all this stuff is being submitted. It is you need the proceeding number. The proceeding number is field number 1, which is 09-TAC-51, and you can reply to already filed comments through July 7th. You can upload a comment as well to this. So I'll have this link up in the show notes if you want to make comments. I recommend it. Here's the take. Cable company says, hey, we think everything's hunky-dory. We don't want anything to change. Those on my side of the fence, at least for me personally, are saying, hey, the internet is more like a communication service, and it needs to be more open, and there needs to be more access, allowing competition and so forth. There's a big push by several groups to reclassify broadband as a telecommunications service. And if we could get that done, then it would definitely open competition throughout the United States. The cable companies do not want this to happen. But remember, you have paid for the majority of this backbone. When AT&T and all these other companies were regulatory telephone companies, which many of them still are, they were taking money month after month off your bill, and putting that into their infrastructure, which they don't share with no one unless they're forced to. I'm not saying that we paid for it all, but we paid for a lot of it. And some of these companies are governed by public utility commissions in each state. And if we could reclassify broadband into a telecommunication service, it could be a game changer. It really, really could. So we'll see what happens with that. Let me change the view here for you guys. This next article is more of a... This is for the heavy thinkers in the group, okay? And what they have done is researchers have... And I'm reading from the article over on Ars Technica. Researchers have used a life cycle assessment, which provides more complete view of the lifetime cost of an activity to tackle the power requirements of the U.S. transit system. It turns out that the fantastic efficiency of rail is undercut by its infrastructure costs, while the fact that the atmosphere has no carbon footprint helps improve the case for air travel. I was just started to kind of look at some of the information in this paper. There's this a gold mine. If you are a stats freak, if you want to learn about efficiencies of vehicles and aircraft and trains, this is a pretty good one. This is really a good one. Matter of fact, I'll be spending some more time because I kind of eat that kind of stuff up. I'm a stats type of guy. So there's some good analysis here, and I just fascinating stuff on aircraft efficiency, and you know they take in a whole bunch of items that you would never think of, lighting on aircraft park ramps, and there's this huge stuff they look at, which I just totally was fascinated with the results. But anyway, not super technical, but definitely pretty geeky there. Okay, I have got so many tabs opened in Firefox. It is like slow. Okay, there's a good article talking about paying too much for .com domains. And we've seen .coms going up in price. And part of the reason for that is with VeriSign having an exclusive contract for the ICANN on .com and .net DNS registries, they had a court ruling a couple of years back where they were allowed to increase the price of .com and .net domains by 7% each year for like 7 years. So there's a big fight going on now. There's a complaint been filed that says, hey, if the ICANN didn't have this exclusive arrangement, the cost of domains probably would come down to about $3 a domain and would be more competitive. Because let's face it, back in the early days, I paid huge money for domains. My first domain I bought, hafadai.com, hafaadai.com. I bought it when I was living in Guam. And that domain was like $49 or something like that a year, or $50, maybe $75 a year. And now you can buy domains for like a little over $6. That was just remarkable then, amount of money for a domain. You couldn't afford to buy too many. But imagine if they were $3. We all could have 100. But as it is now, they cost you a lot more. So there's a good complaint here. We'll see what happens. I doubt anything's going to change. ICANN has got too big of a grip on this, and they got political forces at work. This is a for-profit business for them, and they've got lobbyists to support their positions. But it definitely doesn't help us any out here, saving money on the domains that we buy. All right, this is going to just blow you away. Okay, remember that Pirate Bay judge who had associations with all these different groups that were essentially fighting the Pirate Bay, and how they put a judge in charge to look and see if he was biased? A Stockholm court has said that the judge wasn't biased. Wow. That is amazing. This is crazy. He says that Nordstrom wasn't biased at all, but simply a member of organizations which he learned more about copyright and kept abreast of new developments. It certainly was not Nordstrom's only way of keeping up to date on copyright, and such professional memberships should not be used as evidence of bias. Well, the lawyers that went after the Pirate Bay belonged to the same group that he did, the Swedish Copyright Association. Heard about what's happened in elections in Sweden, right? Heard about the Pirate Party? The Pirate Party, they're going to get 2 seats in the European Union. Yes, the Pirate Party. You heard me correctly. Just go ahead and Google it. But there was no bias there. Oh, you thought American courts were bad? Oh, my goodness. All right, broadcasters. I mean, high-powered broadcasters, the Clear Channels of the world, have lost in court over low-power FM radio. Basically, the high-powered broadcasters wanted to stop the FCC from protecting those small hometown radio stations, the low-power FM stations, from big station interference. They basically were sometimes these guys, for example, here in Honolulu, got some big, heavy-duty transmitters that are pushing in some really high power rates, and then you've got some broadcasters or local broadcasters just in the small little towns, maybe we're on the big island, and those big signals can blow out the low power guys and override them. So the FCC is supposed to protect those low power stations, and this is good. This is a good battle for local independent radio stations fighting to really stay alive and not get blown out by the big boys out there that are authorized to push more power. So this is good. The fight is not over, though, because there's some stuff going on in Congress right now, and there's actually a push to allow more low-power FM stations. I wonder what it would cost to run or license a low-power FM station. How to do that here in Honolulu. I don't know how much money it would cost, but it'd be kind of fun, wouldn't it? Podcast content 24/7 straight from the studio here. I'm sure my neighbors would not appreciate that. But someone was asking in the Ustream what type of chair I have. I used to know what the name of it was. I'll let you guys know at the end of the show. I'll have to flip the chair around and look at the back of it. I think the name of it. It's a great chair. They are a little expensive, but as much time as I spend in front of my computer, there's nothing better than having a great chair to sit in. Article around the BBC talking about homemade ads rising in downturn. Now, those of you that are not affected by the current economy, maybe your jobs are pretty stable, this is a great time to be on eBay, Craigslist, picking stuff up. My wife is like a hound right now. She is on Craigslist and eBay every day looking for deals. And if you're looking for specific things, this is the time to look. Now, people are also selling all kinds of other cool stuff. They're selling baked goods, cakes, that type of stuff. They're trying to make extra cash. They're starting little home businesses. So it's a great way that you can also support local people in your community that are starting small businesses. Keep an eye out. And, the internet's changing the way businesses are run, and you can find lots of great deals locally. And great time to pick up, some extra stuff that people are trying to sell to, basically help pay the rent and keep food on their tables and so forth. You can support them all at the same time picking up some good deals. But lots of websites out there, they're selling lots of cool stuff. So one website is, what was the name of it? I was looking here if you're in the UK, avivastreet.co.uk is a site you may want to check out. Etsy.com is a handmade product marketplace. Where else? Spoonflower.com is a website that lets people design and print their own fabric, which is pretty cool. So lots of specialty websites out there. If you know of a specialty website, let me know. My mom actually found a specialty website for a specific type of china that she has absolutely fell in love with. If any of you are, I guess I ought to just provide the link in the show notes. I don't have it with me today. I'll get it the next show and share with you guys. Well, aren't you lucky you don't live in China? China to mandate internet filtering software on all PCs sold in China. As of July 1, all new PCs will be equipped with the state-sponsored filtering software designed to block access to websites. Boy, don't you just love communism? You know how much of our debt they own? How long will it be before they start having our PCs with their filtering software? That's the question. But, gosh, hey, it's all about control. It's what it is. Can't let the got to keep the people down. You can't let them, learn anything. Got to keep them repressed. Speaking of repressed, what about those two gals that are sitting in a prison in North Korea? Just a crying shame. And talk about some just absolute fanatic nuts. It's just amazing. It really is that in this day and age that type of that regime can continue to survive. It's all about control, folks. Hey, that's for one thing for sure. If I was there, I would never get away with this. I'd be in the bottom of a pit someplace doing a show like this in those countries. But anyway, I think they'd censor me in China, probably. I'd be shot in North Korea, that's for sure. Okay, actually, a lot of the news out of some space news as well here. And I've actually got this kind of spread out over the last remaining articles for tonight. Let me look where we're at on time. We're okay. Hey, the crew for Space Shuttle Endeavour, which is scheduled to launch on Saturday, plan to pack in 5 spacewalks and also do some complicated robotic arm work to complete the International Space Station's Japanese Kibo Laboratory. So they've got a whole bunch of stuff going on. Of course, after fixing the Hubble, I think everything else is probably just a walk in the park. But they got a pretty busy schedule. There's going to be 13 people at the space station. And also one of the astronauts is a URA Navy SEAL. And he will be the 500th astronaut to go into space. And congratulations to the Navy SEALs for having number 500. I think that's pretty cool. And, of course, that guy's pretty proud as well. Say, I didn't care if I was 499, 500, 501, but it's nice to see that the 500th belongs to a Navy man. hey, have you got $185,000 laying around? Do you? If you do you know that you can register your own .dot extension? So you see here, .dot Todd, no .dot Geek. If you got $185,000, you can, if you're a corporation like Nike, like Coke, like any other company out there, you can buy your own .dot Nike, .dot Coke, .dot whatever it may be for $185K initially. And I think it's going to cost you about $10,000 a year to keep the keep exclusive control of that dot business or whatever it may be that you buy. The Icon is expecting 300 to 500 applications. Do the math, folks. That's some cash. And $185,000. Don't have it. Wish I did. Which one would you buy? If you could. You know, if you had $185,000 to just spend frivolously like that, what would you buy? You know, buying a domain doesn't mean that you're going to have a good product. That's for sure. All right, let me move this out here. We'll flip over to the other view. That's going to be available next year. So you can bet that all the big companies are going to have their own extension. All right, this is the weekend, folks. June 12th is the day, finally, analog TV is dead. June 12th, the FCC has created an emergency call center. 1-888 call the FCC. They're going to have 4,000 agents on hand to answer consumer questions and establish 400 walk-in centers where they're going to make available 12,000 digital TV help clinics. Most of the stations have already converted. So there's only just a few left. Oh, my. Anyway, this is actually good news in the aspect of that frequency can be freed up. Verizon can start using it. We can get some more WiMAX competition in space. This is a good thing. So a piece of our spectrum is going to be going dark for a short while until the companies that bought the spectrum backup will start using it. Hey, when you book your next flight, you may need to give them your fingerprint. You may need to be able to give them your date of birth. You may have to tell them if you're a male or a female. These are all part of some new booking rules that are going to be coming in on online. Can you imagine going to the airport and checking in, have to put your fingerprint down? That's coming. So this is some more stuff that's going to be collecting on us. We're Big Brother is going to be tracking our every move. TSA, boy, I tell you, it won't be too long. TSA will know where I wipe my nose for sure. All right, computers key to Air France crash. And this is a good article on Slashdot. You guys know I'm an aviation buff. You know, really tragic situation there. And, you know, you guys know that I flew in the Navy for 20-plus years, 9,900 flight hours, something like that, almost 10,000. And, you know, I flew on aircraft that didn't fly by wire. They were actually, well, they did. They had wires. Real wires, not electronic wires, wires that ran to the ailerons, to the, you know, to the flaps, everything, you know, is all manual. Now, the aircraft in the Airbus situation are largely and mostly computerized. Supposedly, the computers can fly the aircraft better than the pilots can. But luckily, American aircraft manufacturers, Boeing, still allow pilots to take control of the aircraft during emergencies. I believe most of Boeing's aircraft have some form of cabling, which will actually, instead of flying by wire, you fly, you know, like manually. I might be wrong on this, so I'm sure someone's going to chime in here, but a bad situation, really is. And more things that they come out about the Air France issue. It's, you know, just tragic. Can you imagine? I can't even imagine. I really can't. Now, the closest thing where there was an aircraft breakup in the air where people survived, of course, was the, I believe, the Aloha Airlines one many years ago where the rip got ripped off. And sadly, a stewardess and I believe one passenger died, but everyone else made it. But obviously, this situation is not good. I do a lot of, you know, trans-Pacific flights. And, you know, you count on the pilots to take care of the aircraft, keep it, you know, slow it down when there's weather, descend, go around. And I've got some good stories about weather myself from the days I flew. And, you know, storms are not to be messed with. If you see something black and the pilots flying into it, be prepared to have a rough ride. Okay. How many of you gives your kids, you know, a few bucks if they bring home an A? You know, you maybe a dollar for an A, 50 cents for a B, or, you know, some parents maybe 10 bucks for an A, you know, whatever. You know, some parents do that. I don't do that here in my household. We have a different type of reward system. We kind of have what we call like a little treasure box. It's full of goodies. It's, you know, maybe got 20 goodies in there that I put in. I, you know, pick stuff up, geek stuff, you know, and, you know, stuff that kids will want. And if they come home with some good grades, they, you know, depending on what they get a trip to the essentially the treat box. They get to get in that and pick a couple of items. Well, a large number of schools are participating, and check this out, in a pay-for-grades program. Your taxpayer dollars that you're paying to your schools are going to paying students if they have high test scores in reading and math. It's called the Sparks program. It's going to pay 7th graders up to $500 and 4th graders as much as $250 for good performance on 10 assessment tests. About two-thirds of the 59 schools in the program improved their scores by margins above the citywide average. Wow. This happened in Mott Haven. Sounds like, where's Mott Haven? Mott Haven, Massachusetts or Connecticut? Someone's going to find that for me and tell me where that's at. They're paying them? You have got to be kidding me. Pay for grades. Your taxpayer dollars are paying kids for grades. I would be absolutely, I'd be one of those parents at the meetings like pounding on the table and being told to go away. I think that's so fundamentally wrong. And I'm sure some of you will have an opinion on that. What do you guys think? Geeknews@gmail.com. Geeknews@gmail.com. Hey, not techie, but if fashion designers have kind of figured out after a few big firms have decided that, hey, we need to copyright clothes designs. How do you copyright a clothes design? Pretty soon we'd all have one manufacturer of shirts. That's great for competition, isn't it? Well, there was a big push to get a law passed this year. And I guess Congress is moving forward to support the bill. Yes, copywriting on clothes design. But I guess a few of them have kind of woke up and smelled the roses and said, oh, this could be bad for us. This could force mom and pop. You know, you go to L.A. to the garment district, and you can, if you've ever been to L.A. to the garment district, you go down there, and all you have to have is just a business license. And you can buy stuff off the rack that looks like Chanel, looks like Gucci, looks like it, but it isn't. Just knockoffs, and they're really not knockoffs. They're independent designers who have done their best to kind of maybe copy a design, and it's not maybe 100%. It's just, you know, it's kind of one-off. And my wife used to love going there when we were when we'd go through California. And, you know, go there in the evening and buy onesie Tuesdays. Usually make you buy five or something, but if you're there and you have cash, yes, you can just buy a few off the rack. So, yeah, that would shut down that whole industry. And you can understand why the big push is on by the major labels, you know, the ones that you go pay a premium on to buy off the rack in your big major department stores. But they're trying to get that halted. And it'd be interesting if Congress pushes that through. Hey, you know, if you get in trouble, if you have a kid that is in trouble for, you know, some sort of a, you know, drinking incident and he's underage, probably the best thing that he or she could do is not put pictures and information on Facebook. Apparently, parole officers are hanging out on Facebook as well. And some teenagers, actually adults that are not supposed to be drinking yet, the 18 to 20 crowd, feel them are going to jail because they're violating their probation by drinking when they shouldn't be. Little space station news as well. The ISS crew today performed a spacewalk. Two members of the International Space Station crew performed a nearly five-hour spacewalk to prepare for the station's installation of another Russian module. And I didn't know that was going to happen, but they're going to send up the Russians are going to send up the mini research model, MRM-2, scheduled for launch later this year. So they're getting it's similar to the PIRS module that's on the ISS right now. And it'll give an additional docking port for a Soyuz and Progress spacecraft. So what will that be now? They can dock three spacecraft at the station. That's kind of interesting. Out on Mars, or actually above Mars, the Mars Reconnaissance Orbiter has went into safe mode again. This is the second time in as many months. It rebooted, and they think that the spacecraft's in good health, and they feel that they should be able to resume operations next week. But the reboot was similar to one in February, and they think it was something to do with a cosmic ray hit. So that sounds kind of, wow, cosmic ray hit. All right, last article of the night before we get into voicemails and emails. How many of you, you know, you're talking to someone, and then all of a sudden you got somebody's name or a word that's on the tip of your tongue. This happens to me a lot. You guys know this. If you listen to the show long enough, you'll know that I have a tendency to destroy the English language pretty readily. But there's a good article, Our New Scientist, of why your brain can't remember that word or says it wrong, or, you know, you have that tip of the tongue moment. Well, if you're bilingual, happens to bilingual people more. Now, I'm not, I speak a little Japanese, but just an itsy little bit, not very much, not enough to call myself bilingual. I have a hard enough time with English, but they've got some science that's kind of determined what's going on there. They're talking about deja vu as well. And deja vu stuff really freaks me out. It really, really does. Because I have deja vu in weird incidences. I used to have them flying in the aircraft all the time. Like, you know, and largely it's because you're doing some of the same things over and over and over again. It becomes very familiar. And then something happens. It was just maybe, okay, did I have a dream of that? Or did that actually happen in the past? Or, you know, it's you never know. But used to have some weird ones, really did. Some stuff that used to scare the heck out of me because they weren't necessarily positive endings from what the deja vu incident was related to. How many of you have had a deja vu incident where you're thinking, oh, the thing that I saw was in a dream where there was a bad outcome? I have a lot of that. I don't know why. I guess it's one of those memory things. But anyway, if you want to check that out, good article on over at A New Scientist. Have the link up in the show notes. All right, that wraps up the regular content tonight. Got a short voicemail here for you, then we'll get into the email comments. Again, geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com. Voicemail hotlines +1 619 342-7365. Let me go ahead and play the voicemail here, and then we'll get into the email comments.
Hey, Todd. Mike Dell here.
Oh.
I just wondered if...
Actually, I can't play that, Mike, because I said earlier in the show I wasn't going to play it. Yeah, we'll keep that between you and me. Sorry, folks. I almost played the voicemail that I wasn't said I wouldn't play earlier, so excuse me for that. And meanwhile here, let me get the email folder opened up. You know who it's from. You guys can check his website out. All right, let me go ahead and look here. It's the last show was recorded on my birthday. And it's okay. Let me look at the date here of when the last submission was. We'll go down to that. And I had to, actually, I think we left off. We didn't get all the last we didn't get all the emails covered. Was that the case? Okay, maybe. We got a bunch of stuff to go through. I got an email from Mike that said, "Hey Todd, back in the mid '80s, there was this thing called packet radio, part of ham radio, that had BBS as an area that you would connect to." I know about that, Mike. I had an email address way back in '86 that if you were also a ham, you could send me a message from anywhere in the world, and it would get to my home BBS. My first email, which is of no use now, was n7lmj@kb7cfd.id.us.na. The KB7CFD was the home BBS call sign, and ID.us.na was Idaho, United States, North America. It was really like the internet in slow motion. My dad in Traverse City could send me a message in Boise, Idaho at 8 a.m. on Friday, and I might not get it until 11 p.m. on Saturday. Depending on the radio propagation, it could take as much as a week or could be there in a few hours. I was also the operator of BBS system on the old Fidonet system, which when I was stationed in North Florida, the mail moved a bit faster than packet, but not much. Of course, I was in the Air Force and had access to the old messaging system that started around 1990s, but that was kind of like email. Not even sure what that was called. I don't remember what that was called either. In 1993, I got my first real email address on the internet, which is still active today. It used the old Unix shell access at 1200 baud dial-up in the Pine email system. Boy, Pine, haven't heard that in a while. Still does, but you have to get to it from a telnet now. Ah, yes, the good old days. Yep, Mike, as you well know, I run a Wildcat BBS system for many, many years. It ended up on the internet for a long time. When we moved from the house on Ford Island to here in Makakila, I retired the system. It was running on an old NT system. Got to me too much of a pain, but still, you know, just recently I had someone send me an email and say, "Hey, is the Fidonet in Hawaii still available?" And I was the node coordinator here. I think 13450 was the Fidonet address. You talk about some hardcore guys. There are guys still on Fidonet that haven't moved to the internet. They refuse, but they continue to bicker and have flame wars and. You can go away for 3 or 4 years and come back and be caught up in 2 hours because they're saying the same stuff. Got an email from Yitz. He says, "Hey Todd, link to largest solar roof in the Middle East." He gives me a link to this. It's on a website called Green Profit. Thanks, Yitz, for that. I'll have that up in the show notes. Got an email from Alan. He said, "Hey Todd, a while back you had a contact on the Zoom team. If you still do, I was wondering if you could check with him or if there's a way to back up settings. I want to upgrade Windows 7 beta to the RC, but I'm dreading resubscribing to all my podcasts, plus marking them all as read and unread. I'm one show behind, so maybe these things have been addressed, but you may want to check if someone is spoofing." Oh, yeah, we talked about that in Craigslist. Tried to find the listing, couldn't find it. Number two, even if waste treatment plants dump into oceans instead of reservoirs, that water still ends up back in the atmosphere, of course, but that's a natural filtration process, Alan. And I'll go on. And raining back down into the reservoirs. Hate to break it to you, but we're all drinking recycled urination, always have been. And I won't even mention all the animals urinating in those reservoirs, Alan in Maryland. That's true. That's why they put chlorine. And, of course, we played Tracker Tom's real ID comment. I got an email from RSS Ray. He said, "Hey, Todd, I'd like to know your thoughts about an article on my radio show blog about improving natural search engine rankings for local and regional sellers. It's written by Bill Lake, a specialist in boosting business results through local search. Grab your mouse and head to this." So I have this up in the show notes. You guys can check it out and give RSS Ray a response on that. Got an email from Ron. He said, "Hey, Todd, this is Ron from Toronto, Canada. I was one that called you, not willing to pimp my show on your show. Since you said it was okay, my show is called The Japan Experience. You know, I've heard about your show, Ron, and if I remember right, you've got a pretty big audience. It's a podcast about Japanese music and travel. The show URL is www.jrajio.net. So far, the show has been anything big. We are reworking our podcast to be much better. By the way, Todd, I know you've been to Japan a lot. What do you love about Japan? Keep up the good work, Ron. Well, Ron, I think I've heard about your show. Unless there's another one named just like, I thought you guys were doing real good. What do I love about Japan? Everything's unique. Everything in the United States is a strip mall with the same stores. When you're in Japan, you can go from area to area, and you see maybe a supermarket or a 7-Eleven type place. It's kind of, you know, those are maybe the same. But everywhere else you've got unique restaurants. There's very few chain restaurants. Whatever there is, you can avoid them. You don't have to eat in them. You think about the culture of Japan and how many years they have a head start on us here in the United States. We're just puppies, really. You know, it's still infants when it comes to culture. Everywhere you go is something different. And there's a surprise around every corner. You can be in the middle of the city and make a turn on a corner, and boom, there's a park. That is the Japan experience that I love. It's a very unique country. And I've been around a lot of different places, and I've never been able to realize or see a place kind of, and everything's neat, clean, generally very clean. You know, I've been to Thailand, Malaysia, all over Asia. I haven't been to China ever before, but yeah, most of those places are either dirty and, you know, it wasn't always a positive vacation experience. I love going there and seeing stuff, but Japan, there's always something to see, something different, something to do. Throughout the entire country. So that's what I really love about Japan. We got an email from Brian. Actually, we played that on the show last time. Got an email from Jim talking about Hulu maybe getting charged. We already talked about that. Got an email from Justin. He said, "Hey, Todd, I have a listener link. WinUpsite.co.uk. WinUp allows a user to easily take a snapshot of something, and it will automatically upload it via your custom FTP address or tinypic.com. I tell you, the application I love for snapping stuff is I like Snagit. I really do. It's a paid application, but it works. But thanks for the heads up on WinUpsite.co.uk. Yitz, I got your email. Bree, I got your email. Also got a email from Bree saying, "Hey, Todd, this is a really interesting. You don't have to acknowledge me sending this to you. This, heck, you probably got it yourself." But he says, "You're much better looking in person. I'm sure that those who have met you would agree." Well, thanks. The camera does nothing for me. Of course I'm a good, much better looking in person. It's just like the TV thing, right? Ha, ha, ha. Okay, this is from NASA Science News of June 3rd. I have this link up in the show notes. Talks about the fake astronaut and it taking some solar flare hits. Michael, got your email. Dale, I got yours. Let's see here. What else? And these are all contest entries. Mace, I got yours. Oh, I was just warning. How you compare to searches from live.com, search.msn.com, and bing.com, aren't they all the same search? To a certain extent, they are, but Bing has some extra elements there that you can click through and set some options. I did see a difference in Bing. It didn't mimic exactly what live.com was. It did kind of its own interesting twist to it. So I guess that's the best way I described it. I had, you know, a couple browsers opened at once. Browser windows opened and was looking at it. Denise, I got your entry. Joey, got your entry. Got an email from Joe. He says, let me wait for it here to load. He's an interesting article that touches on quantum physics and internet searches. I have that link up in the show notes. Thanks for that, Joe. You always send cool stuff. Got an email from Greg. He says, "Hey, if I understood your opening dialogue..." Let's see here. I was supposed to flag this one. Can't read this one, Greg. And also, I got an email from... Let's see here. Who was it from? From Eakin. "Hey, again, that Todd20 code can only be used on 1 year shared hosting accounts." All right. We're okay. We're doing. We're at the end of the show here, folks, and right on time as scheduled. And hey, I want to thank you for hanging out with me. It's been fun. I hope that you stay subscribed to the show. Tell your friends about it. Definitely get involved. We're going to have lots of contests this summer, lots of chances to win some cool stuff, win cash, prizes, geeky stuff. So stay tuned in throughout the summer. Tell your friends to tune in. I definitely appreciate that. Helps build the audience. Word of mouth is the best. If you see something cool on the website, we're going to have this cool feature where you guys are actually going to be able to embed some audio from my show or take a whole show and put it on your website if you want. If you want to share it, we'll talk about that on the next show. But I definitely appreciate you guys for staying subscribed and being part of the Ohana. You know, I've said this before, the audience is what helps me keep the show going at the level that it's going. And really, without the Ohana, it would be very hard to do this show week after week. You guys are the core part of the family here. And those of you that are not familiar with the word Ohana, you can Google it. But it's the essence of family, a very deep-rooted word here in Hawaii. And I really, truly want to thank all of you for being part of the Ohana, being part of the family here at Geek News Central. It's always my pleasure to bring this show to you. Looks like I will probably be mobile on the next podcast. If I'm here in Hawaii, you know that didn't work out, but that's okay. The longer I stay home, the more happy my wife is. And she has plenty for me to do on the honey-do list, as always. And but the kids are out of school now, so they're going to start enjoying their summer break. But be back with you on Friday. Lots to talk about then, lots of tech. And anyway, keep you informed. Stay subscribed. Until next time, take care and aloha.